Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts, and transform our lives. Amen. Please be seated. Here we are once more, first Sunday of Lent, their journey of Lent, purple color, no flowers on the altar. The baptismal font is closed, as you notice. Some of you might have noticed it. All these signs that we're in this 40 days of Lent. We started it on last Wednesday with ashes on our foreheads, a symbol of our desire to embark on this journey. And it's interesting, the church has chosen always in our 3 years, the reading cycles. Most of you know it's a 3 year cycle. We always start with this same story, the story of Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. At 8 o'clock, we had a long discussion what that meant. Everybody was giving their opinion. I'm going to summarize a little bit. Why does the church choose to begin always Lent with the same story? The story of Jesus' temptations. Why? And I think there are two words that probably summarize, at least for me, temptation and test. Two words. The first one, test, is we all have tests done on us, either for medical reasons or in our schools. A test is a critical examination to determine our capacity or aptitudes. The origin of the word comes from a vessel that was used when metals were evaluated, examined, analyzed to determine how genuine they were. Gold was gold, silver was silver. The other word, tempt, to tempt, the temptations, is similar, but it's another way of looking at it. It's a way in which we are enticed to do wrong when there is a lie that distracts us from our journey to throw us off course. So I think these are two words that are presented to us as we begin our journey. To be tested, who we are. Who are you? And the second is to realize that we are tempted. We're called to deviate from the path. I believe that understanding the story of Jesus' temptations in the desert, probably it's better to look at what the people of Israel did in their own journey, leaving the slavery of Egypt on their way to the promised land. That is a foundational story for the Jewish people. That's what they remember every time they gather to celebrate Passover. It is central, and I think the temptations of Jesus relate more than the story of Adam and Eve and the garden and the tree and the serpent and all that. I think it relates more to this story of the people of Israel walking through the desert, going to the promised land. These 40 years the people of Israel navigated the wilderness, the desert, also reminds us of the 40 days that Moses stood on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. And there's a parallels between the three temptations Jesus experiences with three temptations the people experienced in the promised land. And as I was meditating at 8 o'clock, we had a long discussion about it, how each of these temptations, testing, reflect our own lives and might illuminate our own journey this Lent. So first temptation was the temptation of hunger, right? Jesus spends 40 days, and remember it's a symbolic number, don't take it literally, how can someone subsist 40 days? Take it more in a symbolic fashion. 40 days is a long time. It's a long journey. So Jesus, after 40 days of fasting, he is famished. I like the word, he's famished. He is hungry. And the temptation is to turn these stones into bread. What happened to the people of Israel when they experienced the same thing? We read in Exodus chapter 16. The Israelites said to Moses and Aaron, "Oh, how we wish that the Lord had just put us to death while we were still back there in the land of Egypt. Oh, there we could sit by the pots cooking meat, eating our fill of bread. Instead, you've brought us out into this desert to starve this whole assembly to death. The people had forgotten where they had been. They had forgotten their slavery. They had forgotten that their children had been massacred. They had forgotten that they were despised. They had forgotten all of that. And in the desert, they wished, I'd rather be back there. Suddenly, their slavery started looking rosy and pretty and nice. Doesn't that happen to us sometimes? At least it does to me. And we wish we were back there in the slavery and not keep walking. The people in the desert, feeling this hunger, they wish to go back. So that is the first temptation. In our own spiritual journeys, just wonder. Just as we embark in a process of transformation, how many times it gets hard? It gets hard, and we wish, I don't want to do this. This is too hard, God. I want to go back. Wasn't it nicer? I think it was nicer. It looked better. I want to go back. So that's the first temptation. And I think the church presents us as we enter this journey, examine. When you get tired, when it feels boring, and you want to go back, be careful. Second temptation. Jump from the pinnacle of the temple, says the devil. And that temptation, I think, is more, is God with us? Is God with us? In Exodus 17, story from the people of Israel in the desert, the people argued with Moses and said, give us water to drink. We're thirsty. And the Lord said to Moses, hit the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people will be able to drink. And Moses called that place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites argued with and tested the Lord, asking, is the Lord really with us or not? A second temptation. The people in the desert were wondering, I'm thirsty. First it was, I'm famished. I'm thirsty. I don't think God is with us. I think God has abandoned me. I'm alone. I'm alone in this journey. God has forsaken me. It's the cry of Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And part of a spiritual journey is this sense of, is God with me? The devil tells him to jump from the pinnacle of the temple. And some of the commentators pointed, it was a way of saying, I want to jump because I want to see that God holds me. I want to test God to see if he really will catch me when I'm falling. I want God to show himself, herself, and catch me and see that God is really there, because I doubt it. I doubt. And the third temptation, the temptation of idolatry. All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. The people of Israel, on their journey through the desert, Exodus 30:32, when the people realized that Moses was taking forever and coming off that mountain, they rallied Aaron and said, do something. Make gods for us who would lead us. That Moses, the man who got us out of Egypt, who knows what happened to him? So Aaron told them, take off the gold rings from your ears and bring them to me, and I'll make a golden calf. He took the gold from their hands and cast it in the form of a calf, shaping it with engraving tools. And the people responded with enthusiasm, these are our gods, O Israel, who brought you from Egypt. The third temptation is an interesting one. When Moses went up to the mountain, he spent 40 days. And of course the people said, hey, what happened to that guy? He brought us out, and now he's disappeared. We want something tangible that I can hold on to. They told Aaron, make us a god, because that guy, he left us. He abandoned us. Get us something that we can see, touch, feel. That is temptation of all religions. It's not idolatry. Many times we point out to some other religion. That is not the real idolatry. Idolatry is here. The temptation is inside our churches. Theology can become temptation, right? You sent me a... When we try to craft God into our own image, when we try to capture God, and it's normal, we all do it. The thing is, when we point someone else, we all do it. Because we want to have tangible things that we can hold on to. When Satan tells Jesus, I'll give you all of this if you worship me. Can you imagine? Jesus liked that. It was a true temptation. He said, that sounds pretty awesome. Yeah, I mean, I have a good plan. I have a good political structure. If I'm the president of the world, you know all the good I could do? That was alluring. He kind of liked that. Otherwise, it would not have been a temptation, right? So he started, this sounds good. But then he reminded him, no. This is a temptation. This is idolatry. So as we embark in this journey of Lent, these archetypes of journey, of testing, of temptation are presented to us. And the invitation is, what is your journey? That was the people of Israel, the journey of Jesus. What about your journey? What is your journey? And I would like to underline just this journey did not start with the temptations in the desert. What happened just before his temptations? His baptism. Immediately before Jesus heading out to the wilderness, he was baptized. And there was these words that came from God. The heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove, alighting on Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. It's interesting, the first two temptations of the desert, the devil, the first thing the devil tells Jesus is, if you are the Son of God. On Thursday, we were saying he went to the juggler. He went right exactly to what he had experienced at the moment of the baptism. In baptism, Jesus had felt, I am the child of God. I am beloved by God. I am pleasing to God. And he went out into the desert with that certainty. With that, I mean, he was high. He was riding in an experience of, I am beloved. I am a child of God. I am pleasing to God. And as soon as he's out in the wilderness, the first thing the devil tells him, are you sure? Are you? I don't know. Maybe you're not. So in our journey, what are those voices that plant doubt, suspicion in our own lives? And again, the main focus of Lent is not on sin. We're going to be talking a lot about sin, but it's not the main purpose. The main purpose is a journey. We're heading from slavery into freedom. We're heading from darkness to light, whatever metaphors, from death to life, all these metaphors. We are in a journey. The sins are simply pointing when we deviate. I was telling at 8 o'clock, remember the GPS, the old GPS, when you missed an entrance, what they would say? Recalculating. Didn't it drive you crazy? When it's safe, make a U-turn. Recalculating. When we talk about sin, Think of it as recalculating it. Okay? The idea is we get off track. Yes. And we cannot avoid that. We're not going to dismiss and just paint it rosy. We sin. We get off track. But the point is to get back on track and remember there's a journey to the end. And there is a goal. The promised land. The liberty. The freedom. That is the goal. What is your goal? What is the invitation from being a child of God, beloved by God, pleasing to God? What is your calling, your destiny? May our Lenten journey be first this recognition of our call, to be willing to go through temptation and testing in our wilderness, but hopefully arrive to the goal of our journey on the Easter mountain of resurrection and life. Let us pray. O artist of souls, you sculpted a people for yourself out of the rock of wilderness and fasting. Help us as we take up your invitation to prayer and simplicity that the discipline of these 40 days may sharpen our hunger for the feast of your holy friendship and whet our thirst for the living water you offer through Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you.